Good morning, guys. I just want to actually say hello to Peter and Blanche Marie back there. Hey, guys. Yeah, very cool seeing you guys this side of the world. Yes, it's been slash exciting and nerve-wracking just thinking about saying goodbye and how to properly say goodbye to something that has completely changed my life. Okay, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rudy. I am the husband of Erin van Breda. You guys had the privilege of meeting. I don't think she said her name, but her name is Erin. And yeah, I really do consider myself a son here in the house. It's really been life-changing just being adopted into a family and learning to grow up. To actually grow up, you know, and really know what your identity is and who you are. So I'm going to try and not get emotional. I'm not an emotional person. But I'm going to try and really just share from the heart. Kala did mention that I was going to share the word. But yeah, may the word become flesh or... Yeah, and actually just on that note, I do believe that God doesn't necessarily always give us a message, you know, and say that you're a preacher and you need to conjure up a lot of preachers, but he really does form a messenger. And I think what I do have to share this morning is very, very limited to really just the transformative work God has done in and through my life. So I would encourage you guys, unfortunately I'm gone now, but yeah, if you really want to see more of Jesus, you know, you want to spend time with people, and it's really not limited to what they say on a Friday or on a Sunday. Yeah, so I think that's just, it's been a testimony of who I've become and the message that I do carry now, not to in any way puff myself up, but it's really Christ working in and through me, and I think people that have journeyed with me would experience just Christ. So the reason I'm here today is, yeah, Kala just asked me, listen, Rudy, it would be cool, of course, you've journeyed from like deeply bound in sin to actually the entire experience of the church. This is all I've known, and I really do believe that God has a special place in his heart for me. Heaven put me in this family because I really do believe that this is a healthy family. These are people that really represent Christ and Christ so well. So I could have been in any church. I could have been in the Roman Catholic. Not that I want to bash them. But I could have been in any church, but he chose to put me in this church and he chose to reveal himself through this church to me. Just a bit of a background. So I got... saved in 2017. I don't know exactly which date. I know that it was before August because I got baptized in August. And the only reason I know that is because I saw a picture and it had a timestamp on it. But I'm not really very sentimental. But I got baptized in August. And then, my journey began. And it's really been a journey of me getting saved out of a lot of trauma, sin, insecurities, and just very, very strong strongholds and bondage. And when I, remember the first time I came to Josh Jane, and I actually, for a stage, didn't even believe in a God. And I saw, of course, the people rolling around in the front. You guys have the normal Josh Jane experience. And I just thought, what have I gotten myself into? And it was after a while that I was also the person rolling around on the ground and really just experiencing the love of Christ through his people. The church has been it's played such a significant role in what it has done. And I think the biggest thing that I have learned from just the church and its role is living open life and how open they were to receiving people that were on the outside, how open they were to yeah, listening to just struggles and how open they were to completely accepting a person, even if or when they were completely bound, you know, in the most, I many times think, like, I was the worst of them all in sinners. But really just how open they were to receiving me. And whenever I did have a struggle and had to work through things, every time I would come up and I would confess something to Kala or whoever, and I would be like, yes, God, finally I'm free now. And then a few months later, I would have to do it again and again and again. And it just never stopped, you know. I think the spaces between confessions maybe just get better. But just how it was such a humbling experience. And so I just want to thank the leaders for just their open lives. They really had such open lives. People that I could walk in into their doors, go straight into their fridges, and sit with them, eating their food and telling them about the nonsense that I called on. And they would love me. It's like, yeah, it was incredible. The amount of healing that has done and how much that has taught me in how to receive people and how to love people and how to not judge people. I think in James it says about now that we've received grace, we can now actually steward it and actually be stewards of grace. And I think that's definitely something that God has given me. I've received the grace of God and how they loved and accepted me, and that's something that I can now give to the next people that I journey with. And I think that's absolutely amazing, just where the difference between grace and judgment. Hey. Okay, and the message that I actually want to speak to, and the main thing that I really feel God has taught me in the last while, is that His way is better. And I'm not saying that His way is easier. Guys, please, don't hear that. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, but His way is better. And His way is also not the way that we always hope for. I think we all have these lenses, of course, that we view life through, and that's a difference from person to person, where it could be trauma that have shaped certain parts of your life. It could be insecurities. It could be fears. It could actually be greed, selfish ambition, and desire. And based on those things, we always have a place that we want to go to. And I think one thing that I truly and for a long time desired is is to actually be a husband. And when you reach these significant points in your life and you get there and you're like, yes, so this is not it, eh? This is actually not what God has prepared me for. And it's not that my wife isn't great. Yes, I have a wonderful wife. It's just, I think if we have certain expectations of what God is preparing us for, and we have certain things that we feel our life has to go a certain way, and we reach and find so much value in attaining that, we oftentimes get disappointed. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned now in the last way is that, in the last while, it's just that, like, His way is just so much better and so much more freeing than any other way. And it's been crazy. And I think the biggest thing that really, of course, limits us from receiving His way, and I'll get to that in a while, just like, how do I get to this way, Rudy? But I'll get to that in a while. And the biggest thing is just our will. You know, what does our lives need to look like? What is, just our deepest desires? What do we really want in life? And why do we actually want this? And like I said, that could really be a lot of things that contribute to that. And I think a big thing, of course, is also just our culture and our society that forms, like, this is what a Stellenbosch citizen should look like. And when we have those things that is influencing us so much, we're really struggling to to understand what is God's way and what is His will for our lives. And I think the last 7.5 years in this church, God's just been stripping, you know. He's really been stripping. And it felt like after I confessed my first sin, like, oh, snap, He's done stripping. But it took me 7 years to get to this point where I'm like, you know what? I'm done, you know. I'm done trying to find out or living out of a place of insecurity, living out of a place of fear. And I'm willing to be like, you know what, God? My life is Yours. Like, I've tried it all now. I've tried to find so much life in so many things. And every time I get disappointed. And I wish it could have been done sooner. But His way is better, guys. 7 years, I feel, of stripping. And thank you guys so much for being patient in that time, you know. I many times also feel like I had to perform a certain way, and finally I'm the perfect Christian. I don't have to confess about sin anymore. And then, you know, pride comes in and you're like, oh snap, no. They've given so much, these people. They've laid their lives down for me, you know. I can't be struggling still with this thing or that thing. So thank you so much for demonstrating grace. All these people. Oh, I don't want to look you guys in the face. Yeah, and it's this the last while, just after being or getting married, and realizing that, oh snap, this is not it, because I really, for a long time, though this desire was very deep in my heart, like, thought that God was preparing me to be a husband, huh? Ooh, and when I got to that point, you know what I realized? Yes, I'm a sucky husband. I'm such a sucky husband. I'm so prideful. I'm so insecure. I want to love my wife well, you know. I want to be all of these things. But yes, Jesus, I thought you already dealt with all of these things. How am I still struggling? And I just fell to my knees, you know, and I was like, God, I need You. I need You now more than ever. And yeah, it's crazy. So I want to just read this this verse before we put the verse on. And I really felt this while I was like just on my knees. Sorry, guys, I just had to go back to my nose. I was like, God asked me, Rudy, do you are you excited to meet with me? You know, I think that's a very sobering question when we get asked by the living God, are you excited to meet with Him? And most of us, we're like, yes, but we still just need to get all of these things done, God, and then we can meet with You. Like, and in that moment, you know, my heart just broke, and I was like, yes, God. You know what, if You had to come today, I'm excited to meet with You. If You had to come right now, I'm excited to meet with You. Not that marriage sucks, you know. It's just because, yes, He's, and knowing Him, and yeah, just wanting to meet and be with Him. I think that's so much better than anything we could ever want on this earth. And when I say that His way is always better, I felt God say this. What is His way? And His way is that we may know Him. That we may know Him, God. And that is the only reason we should actually, what we should live for, to know Him. And it was just, when I sat there, I was like, oh my word, the reason I'm a husband is so that I may know Him, not so that I can be a good husband. The reason I go to work or whatever you guys do, I'm a student, is so that you may know Him. Even if you're scrubbing toilets, guys, you know, it's so that you may know Him. That's why He died. You know, every time we're like, he died to set us free. It's like, He died to set us free. Yes, that's very cool. So that we may know Him. And that was really just in that moment, it just really blew my mind. Can you put that on, Lauren? Thank you. I need to actually read this because I don't have. So Paul is just saying in Book of Philippians that though I myself have reason for such confidence in his flesh and in his ability, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he just goes on explaining about all the things that a Stellenbosch citizen should be ticking to be socially accepted, to be valued, and all of these things. And we can, of course, place all of these things that we want to live for and that we want so that we can receive value in those boxes. And he says, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic, righteousness, and faultless. Go on. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything, oh, that's beautiful. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them as rubbish. What is more, where are we now? That I may gain, one verse back. I consider this rubbish. That I may gain Christ. You can go all the way to 11. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. No, that's 9. Yeah. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship and the sharing of, guys, he's suffering. It's not going to be fun. Becoming like him in his death. Okay, I think all the way to that. And I think life starts having meaning when our sole purpose in life is to want to know him. And I think it's a very simple message that I have today. Why are we doing certain things? What are we living for, basically? You know, is it really to just keep filling our desires that we will end up being disappointed by? Or is it for the sole purpose of knowing him? And is that enough? Because for a long time, that wasn't enough for me. And I had to suffer 7.5 years to get to this point where I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go to Vustra. I don't know what to do there. But if I get to know you, then I'm going. I really don't know what's going to happen next year. God's been stripping so much. He's been stripping me of being a husband. Not really. I'm still here. But the perspective or the vision that I had of being a husband, you know, faultless. Perfect. It's funny now. But if I get to see more of Jesus, you know, through the way that I husband, then yes, I want to be a husband. And I think in Stellenbosch, just so many questions came out. Like, hey, what are you doing in Worcester next year? And we oftentimes go quickly on the back foot because people are going to be like, oh, snap, you don't really have anything to do at the moment. And I had to be like, you know what? I don't know. I really feel God is calling me to Worcester right now. I really want to work with youth. That would be amazing, you know, and finally the opportunity is there. But you know what? At the end of the day, I just want to know more of Christ Jesus. I want to see him for who he is. I want to experience his heart. If I have to just run after children the entire time so that I can see more of Jesus, then that's enough for me. And if he wants to come and take me tomorrow, then cool. So yeah, I have 2 ways for you guys to get to know more of Jesus. The first way is through the church, guys. If you want to see more of Jesus, you need to journey and be very open and live a very open life with the people that God has placed you with. And it's not just, guys, you can't really just half heart, give yourselves, but I want to encourage you guys to give you guys fully. Give yourselves completely, because that's the only way that you will see more of Jesus. And I'm talking about these are the people over here that will offend you. These are the people that you will offend, and you're going to have to deal and look at people in the face and be like, snap, I offended you. I'm sorry. But these are the people that will bring you closer to God and knowing Him. So that's the first just encouragement, that you would journey with these people, that you would love God's people, that you would give yourself to God's people, that you would submit under leaders. I know it's not easy if you have trust issues. Especially if you see Kala, you know. Under him. I love you, Kala. And I think the second thing that would really help me in the process of just is really be honest with yourself about your intentions and your motives. And being honest with yourself is many times hard, you know, because we tend to justify things so easily. No, I'm doing this for the church. I'm being a good Christian, you know. But when we confront it and saying like, yes, so I actually got hurt in this area, and it's a broken perspective that I currently have. It's a broken lens that I currently have. You find less confidence in your flesh, and you can see how deceitful your heart is, because our hearts are deceitful above all things, guys. So just be super honest with yourself. I know it's not easy, but sitting in front of a living God, you know, and asking and telling Him, God, I'm actually insecure about this thing, or I'm fearful of this thing. It really does help. So I think those are the two, it's very simple things that really help me. Spending time with God, being open and honest. And also, if you have a wife, tell her about your insecurities, bro. You actually connect the best when you do that. yeah, I think it's almost time. So I want us just to bow our heads quickly. We just bow our heads. Yeah, thank you so much, Jesus. I just want to pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, that your desire is to know us, or you know us completely, Father. You know all of our heart's motives. You know all of our insecurities. You know our fears. You know our greed, Father. You just know our selfish nature. And we oftentimes, Father, get driven by those things. And we forget about you and who you are and just the love that you have for us. So I pray, Father, right now that our desire is a simple one. Is to know you. May we truly desire to know you, to know you more, Father, and that is why we do what we do, not for any other reason, God. We want to see more of you. So I just want to make two calls while every head is bowed. First one is, of course, if you've never had any experience with the living God, with Jesus Christ, and you don't know him at all, but you want to have a life that isn't driven by any distortions that you might have, broken lenses, and a life that is really eager to heal, a life that is eager to walk in freedom and into the fullness of what God has for you. So if you've never known Jesus, and you want to know him, I want you to just put your hand up. If there's anyone here. And then the second just call and group of people that I want to address is, if your motives haven't always been solely, the reason I'm doing this is so that I can see more of you, Jesus. And you really just feel like you've been pushing into something so that a certain value or perception on your life can be acquired or seen. Your motives haven't always been pure. And you can just put your hand up and I'm just going to pray. Thank you. Yeah, Jesus, thank you so much that you are touching lives this morning, God. And that your word, Father, is bringing healing, Father, and it's bringing freedom. And I pray, Father, this morning that as every hand went up, Lord, you see them. And you, Father, you know their hearts. And the desire to know you, Jesus, just be instilled once again, Father. I pray, Father, for a new hunger, Lord, that the sole reason that we want to do life is to know you, to have fellowship with you, Jesus, to be intimate, Lord, with you. And may that be enough for us, Jesus. I pray, Father, for a new freedom in the work that we do, in the roles that we play in people's lives, whether that being a father, a mother. A husband, a wife. May the reason we do these things not be out of a place so that we would receive value or recognition, Lord, but to know you. Thank you so much, Jesus, for just this opportunity, Father, and the work that you've done in and through my life, Father, that I can be a testimony of who you are. Ah, Jesus, thank you so much, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you receive all the glory. Thank you so much, Jesus, for what you've done in and through this church, Lord, and the messenger that you formed. Praise your name. Jesus' name. Amen.